talking about prayer. So if you guys don't have a Bible, you can raise your hands, and Noah and Nick will pass out some Bibles for you. All right, so tonight we're talking about prayer, so I want to start off with asking you guys, what is prayer? And that's not a rhetorical question, so I just want to get your guys' opinions on what prayer is. Yes?
Prayer is communication.
Cool. What else? What? Okay. Communication with God. All right. So today I want to try and expand our view of prayer with some things that I've learned that have enriched my relationship with God in my prayer life. So most of the things I'm going to talk about tonight come from Vic Black, and he's the prayer director of the Navigators. And he's had a huge impact on my life, and he's really greatly enriched and influenced my prayer life. So what is prayer? Prayer is entering the presence of God. So entering the presence of God. Have you ever thought about that before? When you pray, you're talking to God. You're meeting with Him. You're in His presence. Have you ever stopped to think about that when you're praying? You're not just talking to the air. You're not talking to your friends. You're talking to the God of the universe. So one passage that Vic uses to teach about this is Isaiah 6. This passage has really helped me learn what it's like to enter into the presence of God in prayer. So if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to turn to Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And if you have one of the Nav Bibles, you can say the page number. Okay. So, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." So in this passage, Isaiah is having a vision about being in the presence of God. But try and put yourself in his shoes. Vic calls it using your sanctified imagination. So what does Isaiah see? He sees God on a throne. He sees just the train of God's robe filling the temple. He sees the seraphs flying around God, praising him. How are they describing God? They say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." God's holy. He's completely and utterly set apart in perfection. And then the doorposts and the thresholds of the temple are shaking because of the sound of their praise of God. And the temple is filling with smoke. So how do you think Isaiah felt at this moment? Probably really small and insignificant. He's entered into the presence of God, and he's experiencing worship. So how does Isaiah respond to being in the presence of God? In verse 5, he says, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He sees himself, his imperfection, and his insignificance compared to the God of the universe. Do you think that he's standing up trying to get God's attention, thinking that what he has to say is the most important thing in the world? Or do you think that he's completely overwhelmed at the glory of God? I think it's probably the latter. So prayer isn't about us having an opportunity to tell God what we want. It's about having the privilege to enter into the presence of God, a privilege that we can only experience because of the work of God. In verse 7, the seraph tells Isaiah that his guilt is taken away and his sin is atoned for. Isaiah realized his unholiness and his unworthiness to stand in the presence of a holy God. But God, in his holiness, took Isaiah's guilt and sin and allowed him into his presence. And he's done the same for us. We need to always remember that it's only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that we can stand in the presence of a holy God. When we enter the presence of God, we take the focus of prayer off of ourselves and we put it on God. And this naturally changes the way that we pray. When we focus on God and his attributes, we think about who we're coming before, we worship him. We forget about our agenda, about the list that you had, and you focus on God. Thankfully for us, God does care about us. He does care about what's going on in our lives and the things we're concerned about. And if we're focusing on God, it'll probably be a lot easier for us to believe that God has the power to answer our requests and that he loves us enough to do what is best for us. So we can still take our requests before God, but that will no longer be the focus of our prayer life. And we can pray with more certainty when we know the God that we're coming before. So prayer is entering into the presence of God. So then why do we pray? One of my favorite quotes on prayer is from Hans von Staden. He's the man that started Operation World, which is a way that you can pray for the needs of every country in the world. And Hans said, when man works, man works. When man prays, God works. So I'll repeat that. When man works, man works. When man prays, God works. So we pray to acknowledge our dependence upon God, our need for him, and because God is capable of doing things in this world that we have absolutely no ability to do. In Ephesians 3, Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and he ends his prayer saying this about God in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever, amen. We pray because God is all-powerful and because he is able to answer our prayers and do what we ask of him. And so much more. God isn't limited by us and what we can think of. This verse has really helped me to pray bigger prayers, prayers that require more faith and that seem impossible to me. Because I'm reminded that God, who I'm praying to, has no limits. God has no limits. So most of you know that Nick and I led a missions trip to Russia this summer. And as we were preparing to lead the trip, God showed me several times that how he was asking me to lead was through prayer. There are several occasions when I had doubts about my ability to lead, about why I was going on this trip, what role I had in leading the team. But when God showed me that he did have a purpose for me leading the team, it was by asking me to pray. So to come before God and ask him to work in the lives of American students that were going with us, and also the Russian students there, and to trust him that me praying was the single most important thing that I could do as a leader for our trip. So God used John 15, 5-7 to focus my prayers. So if you want to turn there with me. Page number 901. So John 15, 5-7. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. From this verse, I realized that I needed to pray out of dependence upon God and that I needed to pray bold prayers, asking for things that seemed impossible to me And so when we saw them happen, we would know that it was only God who could have done those things. So for the 10 days before we went to Russia, I spent extended time with God, asking him for big prayers, for things that seemed impossible, and praying over promises that God had given our team for our time in Russia. And our time in Russia was amazing. If you want to know more, you can ask me or Nick or Allie or Katie. But time and again, I was completely amazed at what we were seeing happen on our team and in the lives of the Russian students. And I realized that the seemingly impossible things we were seeing happen were answers to the prayers we prayed before we even went to Russia. So we are seeing God at work. I'd like to read a journal entry that I wrote after coming back from Russia. So this is from my journal. As I've been home reflecting on Russia and communicating with the students there, Mom pointed out how many prayers have been answered. It's so true. God has been so faithful to answer prayer. I want to review what I prayed leading up to Russia and see how he answered. I was praying for our students, the American students that went with us, to have a heart for the nations and a desire to labor. I saw so many of them grow in their love for people and God's command to make disciples. Everyone expressed a desire to go back to Russia within 2 years, and several, Nathan, Noah, Alicia, Allie, and Katie, expressed a desire to labor overseas. I pray that we would be surprised at the receptiveness of the people in Russia to the gospel, that they would see their brokenness, and we would be able to tell people that they need you, for open hearts and open doors to share about God, to see God's Spirit at work. Yesterday, Doug told me that the openness of the Russian students to God was a new thing. He felt like God just blew open the door to share the gospel this summer. The fertile hearts of the Russian students are the biggest answers to prayer. God, we saw you do far more than what we asked or imagined. You blew us away, and we are in awe of you. Would this experience this summer grow the Americans' faith in you in the times we forget your greatness? Would we walk in faith? So this is just a small part of the prayers that we saw answered. I wrote out pages of the prayers that we saw answered. It's this many pages. It's like 6 or 7 pages of just prayers that I'd prayed before that we saw God answered. So if you want to take a look at it after, you can see I have specific verses that I wrote down that we prayed for that we saw God answered. So when we pray and we see God do things that only he can do, it increases our faith and encourages us to pray even bolder prayers. So I encourage you to start now. Start asking God for things that seem completely impossible to you, and share when he answers those prayers. We pray because we need God, and we trust that nothing is impossible for him. So then how do we pray? We start praying with a focus on God, not on ourselves or on others. Our requests won't seem as urgent, and we'll have more confidence in the power of God when we do this. So when we pray, we focus on God, not on ourselves. We pray through Scripture. This has helped my prayer life so tremendously, as I've learned to incorporate the Word of God into my prayers. This means that to grow in our prayer life, we need to be spending time in God's Word, and probably memorizing it and meditating on it, so that when you're praying, you'll have Scripture that you can say, and you can pray. So Vic says that we breathe in the Word and we breathe out in prayer. So the Word and prayer aren't two separate things, but they go together in our relationship with God. So finally, we need to practice praying. You don't have to sound perfect when you pray. You don't have to sound like someone else. God wants to relate to you wherever you are. As you pray alone and with other people, you'll start feeling more comfortable praying, and you'll see God answer your prayers and love the time you're spending with him, so you'll probably want to pray even more. So tonight I wanted to spend time as a group praying, and I wanted to give you some guidance of how to do that. So first, we're going to be spending time as a large group, focusing on who God is. So the first part that I talked about, entering the presence of God, focusing on who God is. So you can do this by focusing on an attribute of God, like his holiness, his love, his grace. You can praise God for who he is, or you can find a passage of scripture and then read that. So for the next few minutes, it's going to be open to you guys to pray out loud, focusing on who God is.